name's Lauren, and this is the story of my grief. It was a Saturday. I was sitting in my most favorite chair in my living room. My son was on the couch, and my girlfriend was in the bedroom. My uncle called me, which was weird. So I answered, and he told me that my father had passed away a couple hours earlier. And I stood up and repeated what he had just said, kind of as a shock response, which my son heard me say. And so he started freaking out. And then everything gets really blurry for the next week. My girlfriend had called my ex, and she came to deal with the kids while Michelle had to deal with me because I was an absolute wreck. The funeral was a lot like what my life looked like. We weren't allowed to speak or sit with the family. We weren't even acknowledged as his children. When his friends spoke, they looked at my stepmother's niece and nephew who were in the front row because they didn't even know who we were. But luckily, God had already kind of scooped me up at this point before I knew it. And as much as all of that hurt and was devastating, when I think about the funeral, the only thing I can really remember is the fact that it was freezing. It was covered, but outside. It was raining, and it was on a ranch, so everything was muddy and gross, and there were 400 people there. It was standing room only. There were people outside that couldn't even get under the covered area. My father was adored. He was respected. He was everyone's best friend, handyman, and cook, and he was my daddy. We had a long, hard road. My whole life was a struggle, and he was no exception. When he and my mother got divorced, we moved to Florida, and my white picket fence world was destroyed. My mom's alcoholism was out of control, and my father was the enemy. He wasn't there to defend himself, and I began to believe what I was hearing. The ugliness of this period of my life is a whole nother story. I loved my dad and was a daddy's girl at heart, so even though I was being tainted by my mom's negativity, I never stopped longing for his attention, his love, and his approval. After my mom's drinking took total control, we moved back to my dad's, and by this time, he had remarried. We were not wanted nor accepted, and no one knew how bad Florida was for my little brother and I. I think they all just thought I was some sort of rebellious teenager at that point, but Florida really, really messed us up. He became so strict, and I started getting accused of all sorts of stuff, so naturally I decided if I was going to do the time, I was going to do the crime. So by the time I was 17, I was a dropout with a criminal record, a drug addict, having sex with just about anyone that blinked at me. By the time I was 18, I was a drug addict, stripper, who had been in one abusive relationship after another, sexually assaulted. And by the time I was 19, I was all of those plus an unwed pregnancy. My father had given up at this point. Until his grandson was born. He had been a terrible father. I mean, did the best that he could, but terrible father. But he was a great grandfather, and we were beginning to rebuild our relationship very slowly. I had started listening to the still small voice of the Lord. I'd become celibate and was listening to Joel Osteen. You guys can give me crap about that later. I had found Watermark. I had started attending very irregularly. And I had finally met a guy that respected my celibacy and my new weird walk with the Lord, which I didn't really understand yet. That lasted for about a month. And then the first night that we drank together, we ended up hooking up, and I became pregnant with my daughter, Abigail. This was the beginning of another very abusive relationship. At this point, I was done. I was done with men. I was leaving him. I came out to my friends and my family, and I remember this moment being an oddly sweet moment with my dad, because he loved me through that. And even though I knew that he was a believer, he still accepted and loved me. For the next 7 years, I kind of danced around God's call until that fateful Saturday when God said, "Enough, you are mine. And if brokenhearted is when you turn to me, then brokenhearted you shall be." Psalm 34:18. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." You see, this wasn't out of a nowhere blow. I mean, yes, death from a four-wheeler accident on a ranch from a perfectly healthy 62-year-old in an unexpected snowstorm was kind of off, but looking back, I see how very systematically the Lord was taking shots at me, one after another. I almost lost my children to CPS earlier that year. Shots fired. My dog died. Shots fired. We were forced to move. Shots fired. I had started getting sober. Shots fired. On and on and on. 2013 was one thing after another. My truck broke down. Shots fired. Lost my job. Shots fired. And then came the shot that took me down. See, I thought I can do all things through Christ. Get back up, fight. I am a warrior for God. Get back up, fight. Put on the armor of the Lord and push forward. Get back up and fight. And when I lost my dad, I stayed down. I began to pray. And I started Grief Share in January, which was about a month after I lost him. And I was introduced to Psalm 46:1. "He is our strength and our refuge." Wait. What? I've got the strength part. What's the refuge part? It's a shelter. It's a place of protection. It's a safe place, a place where you will be warm and loved. And once I realized that that's where I was, everything changed. You heard Destiny's story recently, and she was one of my Grief Share leaders in the first one. And she was just this dark, kind of cynical woman with this passion for the Lord that I had never experienced. And it kind of threw me off, because she was not the typical view of what I thought Christians were supposed to look like. Christians were supposed to be, you know, perfectly well put together, happy, smiling drones. And in that is when I started going, okay, well, maybe I can pursue this a little bit further and see what's going on. And then I found Job chapter 3, which we all know the story of Job, but Job chapter 3 is epic. That guy is angry, and he is talking about it. And he is just yelling. He wishes the day that he was born was erased. I mean, it's intense. And I started to go, what is going on? This is not the God that I knew. And I spent the last 2 years running to him, seeking him, learning who he was and what he was saying to me, because everything I thought I knew, I knew nothing. And then I realized several major things. One, that God loves me. And that one I learned in Regen. Two, that Christ died for all of the abuse I had endured, for all of the unwed sex, for all of the STDs, for all of the assaults. His blood covers the times that I took Plan B. His blood covers the times that my father wasn't there. The time that he taught me about patience and humility. How to be a royal of heaven, born into a fallen world in a lowly manger. Christ taught me how to teach my son to be a man and still mourn. John 11:35, Jesus wept. He taught me to be faithful during unfavorable circumstances. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked if there was another way, but there wasn't. Just as there was not another way for me to learn the most valuable thing so far. He wasn't taking shots at my heart. He was taking out my knees, and he wanted me to stay down and surrender. With my addiction, with my sexuality, with my lack of family, I am tempted constantly. Life isn't magically better now that I've accepted Christ. Matthew 4:1-4. "Then Jesus led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted." We are going to get derailed. Maybe you started with a strong faith and this is what's derailed you. maybe you don't know anything about what I'm saying, and this is all completely new to you. Or if you're as lucky as I am, maybe this is the way that he gets to you, as he did to me. One day there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Revelation 21:4, he has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. I hated that verse in the beginning. Like, I hated it. It made me angry. But the money of that verse actually comes in 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and I will come. You will pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Our relationship with God isn't based on works, but it is on action, and we find him there. When we walk a narrow path down this bumpy and windy road, hold fast and stay true. I will always be J. Miles Horner's little girl, but now I know my father. We are children of God, 1 John 3:1. I am the daughter of the one true King, the Lord and creator of the heavens and the earth, is my father. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you face troubles of many kinds, and you will, you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may complete, not lacking in anything. James 1:2-4. The last day I saw my dad was on Thanksgiving. Next Monday will be the 2-year anniversary of his death. Last week, I wrecked the last thing that he ever gave me. My son, a day later, found a card that my father had given him on the last birthday that he was alive. And that reopened a lot of wounds for him. Abigail had grandparents day last week, so that opened up a lot of wounds for her. So she's been a 7-year-old disaster. I did not want to get up here. I did not want to remember these things. I did not want to process this. I did not want to have to put this down on paper. I did not want to find verses that correlated with how bad all of this hurted. Hurted? That's not a thing. Just erase that. Yeah. But when we're fully walking with him, he carries us. I want to read this really quickly. This was what I wrote if I had been able to speak at the funeral. And I haven't read this since I wrote it, so bear with me. My dad taught me respect of all living creatures. My dad taught me to appreciate the finer things in life, and not money or expensive things, but he did always say, I get what I pay for. To appreciate things like a good old porch with a swing. He taught me to see the wealth and the beauty in a well-manicured garden. He instilled in me that sometimes a really great dessert was more important than the meal. He taught me how to shake a man's hand in a way that a man would remember meeting me. I learned to appreciate the small details of a journey as well as the destination. He taught me how to dance and told me that if my dance partner didn't know how to step, that I was still in the market for a dance partner. He taught me to recognize craftsmanship and the importance of being great at whatever your trade may be. I learned to be quiet and listen, mainly because he didn't want me to scare the fish. He taught me to be brave and that no cliff was too tall to jump off of. But in that, I learned inner strength, and I didn't know that I had. And I see him in the sunrises, and I see him in my daughter's brown eyes. And I see him when my son comes over, overcomes a new fear. Daddy taught Blaine how to ride a bike in an hour. I'd been trying for a year. He had a calming way about him that I needed and loved. I learned to recognize the potential in things, then to get them to that potential. He'd tell me to do something about it. He taught me to jump off the bench near the trampoline to get a better bounce. But in that, I learned not to accept the ordinary and to always try harder. I learned to listen to the music. These are a few of my favorite things. But then I don't feel so bad. He taught me how to make flan. So with that, I'll wrap this up because I can literally hear him saying, "Wrap it up, Lauren." I am devastated. A hole has been placed in my life that will never be filled. But I know this, knowing God's plan is not part of the plan. And I tell his grandchildren all the time, our home is in heaven and we are only here briefly to complete our mission, which is God's work. And Daddy must have completed his job. Our mission continues. This year, for Thanksgiving, God gave me the sweetest gift. I was able to spend it in Hawaii and then watch the sun come up over the beach. And those miracle moments happened just a few days ago for me. It's still going to hurt, but we're able to connect with him through this, during this, because of this. As this happens, we are able to reach out to the Lord. Psalm 46:1. Sometimes he is my refuge. Sometimes he is my strength. But he is always there, loving me. Always. Thank you.